The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of His Word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in Him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. Favorite days in elementary school was show and tell. We would bring in our thing and we would say, this is what this is, and then we would show what it can do. This is my dog. Let me show you her tricks. This is my Lego set. Let me show you all the parts. This is my painting. Let me show you the colors. Our passage this morning is like the show before the tell. In our passage this morning, John says, let me tell you who Jesus is. There's no one like him. Jesus is more than a man. Jesus is God. And then the rest of the book is the show. This morning, John says, let me tell you who Jesus is. And then for the next 20 chapters, John will show us who he said Jesus to be. So we're going to get to the miracles, and we're going to get to the healings, and we're going to get to all of that stuff, but all of that stuff is simply to confirm what he says this morning. There's no one like Jesus. He's more than anything you can imagine. He's God. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, this is the one I spoke of when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we've all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and in his closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. I've entitled this message, No One Like Him. That's the big idea of the sermon. There is no one like Jesus. For those taking notes, there's no one like Jesus. He is, number one, more than God's man. Number two, more than God's prophet. And number three, more than God's truth. So first, Jesus is more than God's man. Every serious scholar acknowledges that Jesus was a man. His existence is undeniable. And it's undebated that Jesus thought he was on mission from God. Jesus did all of these incredible things, and he said all of these incredible things, and it's universally agreed that he was considered to be a man of God. That much is obvious, but the Bible presents Jesus as something more than a man of God, but actually God. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I remember being a child and reading through the book of John, And I was greatly confused at John chapter 1, verse 1. I remember thinking, what is the word? What are we talking about here? And I was confused. And if you're confused about this idea of the word, all we need to do is to keep reading. And by the time we get down to verse 14, we read, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And at Christmas, we remember that Jesus took on flesh and came to us. And so the word can't be anyone but Jesus. So in verse 1, we see that Jesus was more than a man of God because, verse 1, the word was in the beginning. You see, Adam was made from the dust of the ground. He had a beginning. And then Adam begat Seth, and Seth had a beginning. And then Seth begat Enosh, and Enosh had a beginning. Every person has a beginning, but John tells us that Jesus was in the beginning. It's like this. When the beginning began, Jesus already was. He was before any beginning. He simply was. Children love to ask the question, who made God? Who made God? Because it's inconceivable to the human mind to consider that something already was. And in that question, children are asking, when was the beginning? And this is what John is saying. There is no beginning with Jesus. He simply was. No beginning, just was. Jesus was. And Jesus was, verse 1, with God. It's this idea of a relationship with God. A life that's aligned with God. A life that loves God and does so perfectly. Aligned with God perfectly. Every man of God comes to that point in their life. They come to the point where the person comes to know God. And we have such people in our church, people who, without any confusion or error, people who are with God, who are sold out to God, who love God, and they will always tell you the same thing. They will tell you, I wasn't always this way. Every person of God in this church will tell you, there was a moment when my life was changed and I began a relationship with God. But there's no point like that for Jesus. Always with God. Always a perfect relationship with God. Verse 1, he was with God. And this is actually why he's called the Word. He's called the Word because his relationship with God is so perfect. Jesus knows God so perfectly, he can speak of God without any error. And Jesus knows God so perfectly, he can demonstrate God's ways without any confusion. The New Testament requires that pastors must be men of God. The New Testament requires this, that pastors must be men who know God, men who can speak for God, men who can demonstrate the ways of God. It's a high bar. And oftentimes, I fail. You see, many times when I speak about God, I know that I'm not completely clear. And sometimes when I preach about God, I'm confused myself. And I'm certain, although I hope not, sometimes I'm probably not correct. That is never true with Jesus. He is the Word of God. He is in such perfect relationship with God that everything he says about God is without confusion, without correction, and is always clear. And this can only be the case because Jesus is God. Verse 1, the Word was God. The Gospel of John has one aim, and that's to convince us all that Jesus is God. Not merely a man of God, but God as man. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Every scholar believes that Jesus existed. Almost all believed that he was a great man. Most even believed that he was a man of God. But very few will believe that Jesus is actually God. And they say that's simply too fantastic. That's too far out. He was a great man, a godly man, but nothing more than a man. And probably anticipating this rejection, John tells us, verse 3, Jesus created all things. You see, by definition, God is the one who creates. Remember that question children ask, who made God? If someone made God, then they would actually be God. And so John wants us to see that because Jesus is the creator, he must necessarily be God. John couldn't be any more clear. Jesus is not a creation of God. He is God the creator. And because we are the creature, we're dependent upon him. That's verse 4. He is life. John wants us to see that we only exist because he exists. We only are because he is. And he doesn't need us. We need him. He's God. He's life. We've made it through only 4 verses in the Gospel of John. And by saying he's light, he's already asking the question, do you see it? It's a question for all of us this morning. Do you see that Jesus is more than a man of God? Do you see that Jesus, as a man, is also God? Second, Jesus is more than God's prophet. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. This John in verse 6 is not John the disciple. And this is not John the author. The John in verse 6 is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the last of the prophets. And the prophets were all those in the Bible who foretold that the Savior was coming. So all the prophets are people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zephaniah and Malachi and all the prophets who said the Savior is coming. And John is the last of those. John is the last of the prophets. And John is also the first megachurch pastor. John is preaching to thousands of people. And people travel from all around the region, great distances, just to hear John preach. And John would tell people, you need to obey God. And he was called John the Baptist because he would dunk people in water. And he'd say, just as we're cleaning you on the outside, you need to be clean on the inside. He had a simple message. Stop sinning, get serious about God, because God's about to do something, and we're about to see God's light. A few years back, we were in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we took a tour of an abandoned copper mine. And the guide was showing us the mine, and the guide was telling us all about how the copper miners used to get the copper out and all of these things. And then just casually slipped in there, the worst thing that can happen in a mine is for the lights to go out. And that's when they turned the lights out. And it was pitch darkness. The darkness where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And my children instinctually grabbed onto me because we all knew the same thing. Without the light, we are doomed. This is what John is saying. The light's about to shine. Without him, we are doomed because only he can show the way to God. And it's absolutely an incredible statement, not only because of the value of the statement, but because who it comes from. People are coming to John from all over. And John has all these people behind him that follow him. Wherever John goes, these people go with him. And John tells these thousands of people, he tells them, I can't really help you. But I know the one who can. You see, the light is coming. And the light will show the way to God. And then we see this most incredible and shocking thing. When the light comes, nobody sees it. Verse 10, Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. In just a few chapters from now, we're going to meet a man who was born blind, and we're going to watch as Jesus heals him, and Jesus spits into the ground, and he makes mud, and he stirs it up, and then he takes the mud, and he puts it on the blind man's eyes, and the blind man can see. And then the religious people come along and they ask the blind man, who healed you? And the blind man will say, well, Jesus healed me. And they ask, well, who is this Jesus guy? And the blind man says, I don't really know. And the blind man says, you know, maybe he's a prophet. Maybe he knows something about God. I don't really know much about this guy. And they say, who is Jesus? Tell us who he is. And the blind man says, I told you once, I'm telling you again, I don't really know. He was blind. Jesus healed him. And he's still blind. Even with his sight restored, he didn't see Jesus for who he is. He didn't see Jesus as the only one who leads to God the Father. And then we see others who reject Jesus, not because they don't recognize the light, but because they don't want anything to do with the light. As we go through the book of John, we're going to see those who reject Jesus with full knowledge. And oftentimes it's the Pharisees, and they understand who Jesus is. And they understand that Jesus is the one from God, and yet they say, we don't want anything to do with that. Jesus doesn't fit with our plans. Don't need him, don't want him. There's got to be another way to God. And it's incredible. The light comes, and people don't see it. And you know what's incredible about all of this? You don't have to tell people the lights are on. The only people you tell the lights are on are the people who are blind. That's what John's doing. He's saying, all of you are blind. You don't see it, and so I have to tell you, Jesus is the light. And yet, praise be to God, verse 5, the light overcomes the darkness. And by his grace, some come to see the light. That's verse 12, some see him and some receive him. And it's the question of the book. Do you see? Do you see Jesus as the only way to God? Not merely a prophet, not merely one who tells us about God, but more than that, the one who can actually take us to God. Third, Jesus is more than God's truth. At Kent State, I took this class called Comparative Religious Thought, and it's exactly what you think it was. In the course, we studied all the major religions of the world, and I remember being very curious what the professor was going to say about Christianity. And I was curious because at the beginning of the course, he told us, I don't really subscribe to any one religion. He said, I'm just a spiritual person. And so in the back of my mind, I'm already thinking, where is he going to get Jesus wrong? What truth is he not going to embrace? And to my great surprise, everything he said about Jesus was true. My professor got all of the facts right. and yet was not a Christian. And he wasn't a follower of Christ because he failed to see that Jesus is more than truth. Jesus is also grace. Look at verse 14. Jesus is full of truth and full of grace. The whole world understands truth. The whole world knows tit for tat, cause and effect. It's built into the universe. The whole world understands there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And so no one is surprised when Moses brings the law, because the law of the Old Testament is that. The law of the Old Testament is this is right and this is wrong, and don't do wrong. You need to do right, and every wrong must be made right. Everyone knows this. Jews believe in right and wrong. Muslims will tell you that God will punish the wrongdoing. Even atheists will tell you there's a moral code, there's a right way to live. And they'll say Jesus knew all that and Jesus taught all that. But here's the question. What do we do with our wrongdoing? What do we do when we don't do right? And the only answer to that question is Jesus. Jesus is the only solution for wrongdoing. John looks back to a familiar event. Verse 14, he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And if we had a Greek Bible in front of us, we would see that this idea of dwelling is actually the same word for tabernacle. And it's a made-up word, and John says he tabernacled among us. And a few months back, we studied the tabernacle. And do you remember the heart of the tabernacle was the inner room? And how in the inner room was the Ark of the Covenant? And the Ark of the Covenant was all about truth. The Ark was separated by a curtain, and it meant off limits. And it was truth. Sin separates sinful man from holy God. And it conveyed to us our sin is bad and your sin has consequences and you can't come any closer. And yet by the blood of the Lamb, one man once a year could approach God. Because the tabernacle is all about grace. Through the blood of the Lamb, a man could come into the presence of holy God. And if you remember the tabernacle, where truth and grace collided, the Shekinah glory reigned. Over the tabernacle was a literal cloud of glory, a visible aura, a tangible manifestation. God is grace and truth. And this is what John is saying. John is saying Jesus is the visible manifestation that God is grace and truth. Jesus isn't merely some grace and merely some truth, but he's full of grace and truth. In the book of John, he'll seek to show us that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. And Jesus will declare truth. Our sins deserve death. And Jesus will declare grace. He dies for our sins. John considers all that Jesus has done, and he says, verse 16, it's grace upon grace. The tabernacle was one man once a year could approach God. And that was an unfathomable grace to them. Adam and Eve sinned and they were banished from God's presence. And one man once a year was nothing but God's grace. And yet when Jesus came, he wasn't behind a curtain. His presence was available to all. And in the tabernacle, a lamb was slain for sin. And it was all grace. The animal can die in the place of the sinner. But Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. He dies not for a sin. He dies for all sins, past, present, and future. Grace upon grace, grace beyond grace. And because it's grace, it's free, it's undeserved, and all we have to do is believe it. And so again, the question of the hour, the question of the book of John, do you believe that there is no one like Jesus? We end with this. If there was ever a man who believed the truth about Jesus, it was Peter. Peter believed that Jesus was more than a man. Peter believed that Jesus was the eternal, the creator. If ever there was a man who believed the truth about Jesus, it was Peter. And Peter watches as the God-man does all of these great things and says these wonderful things and does these miraculous things. And Peter watches as people all over come to place their faith in Jesus. And then to his horror, Peter watches as Jesus is arrested in the middle of the night. And he's taken to trial. And as the trial's taking place, Peter's watching the proceeding from the doorway. And that's when a little girl runs up to Peter and says, "I've seen you. You're one of those who believes in Jesus." And that's when Peter says, "I don't believe that guy." Peter believed that Jesus is God. Peter believes that there's no one like Jesus, that he's more than a prophet, that he's more than truth. And yet Peter also believed that there were certain parts of his life that were best lived apart from Christ and not with Christ. The whole book of John is written so that we may believe. And not a belief in the truth of Jesus, but a belief in the trust of Jesus. You see, there has to be. There has to be people who are listening, maybe here, or maybe on the radio, or on YouTube, whatever, who believe that Jesus is more than a man, that he's actually God. And yet, when it comes right down to it, not trust him with our life. And maybe that's you. And maybe you say, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that there's no one like him." And yet, if I'm honest, there's parts of my life that I don't trust him with. And maybe it's integrity at work. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's the things we do in secret. And we say, "I believe in Jesus. I know that he is the truth. But I don't really trust him with that part of my life." This book is written that we might believe. Not only the belief that knows truth, but the belief that trusts. You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.